tonight is the Isra of Yichud. To understand the Isra of Yichud, before we deal with the halachic protum of it, we have to understand two perspectives of Chazal. The first perspective of Chazal is obviously is the Chaymer of Arayas. How grave a chet Arayas is. Of all the dinim in the Torah, there are only three which are absolutely Yehoreg Vayab. And Arayas is one of those three. The Mesilas Yesharim writes, Arayas, called Ben Das, any person who claims to be religious understands that there's a grave chet that's involved. That's number one. Number two, Chazal understood very, very well the nature of human sexuality. And they did not beat around the bush. They were very, very direct and to the point. I guess let's start with the following. The more at the end of Sof Masechet Kedushin tells us a very famous story of Rav Amram Chasida. We'll come back to that in a moment. His name. Now, it was a time that kidnapping was unfortunately rampant in the world. And you had to rent some people from kidnappers. So, one fine day, they ransomed a group of women from kidnappers. Now, it was an era, but the hotel business did not exactly exist yet. So they needed a place. Where was the woman going to stay? So they looked around town, and they found the most pious person in the town was a Yid called Rav Amram Chasida. So they said they're going to board these women on the second floor of Rav Amram Chasida's house. Now, they didn't have a conventional staircase as we had. They used a ladder to go up from the first floor to the second floor. The ladder in this house was, I guess for stability purposes, was an unusually heavy ladder. It was impossible for one person to move this thing. That's how heavy it was. So they brought the ladder, they put it up against the second floor, the women marched up to the second floor, and they schlepped the ladder away, and they left Rav Amram Chasida here for the night. So this is about the best protection you could have for these women. They're in the house of the most pious person, and even in his house, it's an impossible. He can't get there either.
Did he have his wife with him or not?
Doesn't seem that he had a, you know, I don't know if he was married or he didn't have a wife anymore at this point in his life. But it doesn't seem that he had a wife there. In the middle of the night, they hear screams coming from the house of Rav Amram Chasida. That it's interesting. The world hasn't changed from the Babel close to 2,000 years ago to urban New York today. If you want to get help, so what's the best way to get help? If you yell, there's a robber, a murderer, so everyone's afraid to come outside. If you yell fire, no one's afraid to come out. To the contrary, they want to come out to see where the fire is, they're afraid the fire will burn them down too. So the best way to get help is to yell fire. So what did Rav Amram Chasida do? He figured this out already 2,000 years ago. And he started yelling, Nura Bay Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house. A fire, everyone comes running, you know, to see what's going on, where the fire is going to spread, if there's people whose lives have to be saved. They come to the house of Rav Amram Chasida, and they find them, that the ladder has been moved from where it was left. This ladder that no one person could conceivably move. He managed to move. And secondly, here he is, he's halfway up the ladder. Now, halfway up the ladder, he still couldn't stop himself. All he could do was yell, Nura Bay Amram. So everyone came running. And they found him, here he was, halfway up the ladder. That's what they found him. So what lesson do we derive from this story? Well, the obvious lesson is that the Yetzer Hara is ever present. That's number one. But the second thing, and what I find most interesting, is the title. Now, if you call someone chosid, what does the Ramchal say chosid mean? Chosid means someone whose life is lived lifni mishor hasadin. So it depends who gives the appellation, who bestows the title chosid. If you live in a place of unlettered and unaccomplished people and they call someone a chosid, he may be no more than barely a Shomer Shabbos, but from their standpoint, you know, they haven't seen anything so from in their life. I once had a babysitter many, many years ago that grew up abroad in a country where the chinuch had grown very, very poor. And this babysitter told me in the country where they came from, if you didn't eat yogurt with the chicken, this was, you were like a Satma Chassid in New York, you know. This was like, you know, real extreme right-wing Judaism. That to have yogurt with your chicken. Just for no, not for any rebellious, just pure amoratus. Their education was very poor. So, you know, in that society, there's one notion of what, you know, you don't need basar v'chalav, so a halev yid. If you sit with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe Feinstein calls you a chassid, it's a different meaning. You sit with the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon says that you're a chassid, it's another meaning again. Now imagine you sit with the Rambam, and he had pretty high standards there, and the Rambam says someone's a chassid. So who do we have that declared Amram chassid or chassid? Chachmei HaShas. Now when did they state that he's a chassid? After the story. When they wrote it in Shas, they called him Amram Chassid. They didn't say Amram, who we thought was a chassid, but unfortunately, you know, we didn't understand him properly. No. He remained Rav Amram Chassid in the eyes of Chazal. He was truly an Ish Chassid. A person whose life, from the perspective of Chazal, was on a madriga of Lifnei Meshur HaSadeh. Awesome madriga. They were not dismissive of him that he fell into such temptation. They took it as a revelation of how everyone could be afflicted. And therefore Chazal told us the story, and they called him Rav Amram Chassid as they wrote the story. We have a statement in the Shas, and the statement is Ein Apotropos Larayos. We'll come back to exactly what that means. You cannot be a guardian of a Rayos. Afilu lechosid shebechasid. That's the Rishalmi's addition. Even the most pious among pious people. Then what is Ein Apotropos Larayos? Very simply, Maisa Shehoya, about 40 years ago in the city of New York, there was a man who used to travel out of town regularly on business. And he was very concerned with the welfare of his wife, a woman alone by herself. And he's away, you know, a whole week. So he had a very close friend and a neighbor, and he asked him that he should keep an eye on his house and make sure that everything is safe and in order. And he did. And one fine day he discovered he kept too good an eye on the house. And he became involved with the woman of the house. From people. And that's what Chazal said. Ein apotropos larayos. You don't appoint a guardian, someone to look after a woman. Afilu lechosid shebechasidim. To be the most pious human being in the entire world. Now let's add one more thing. And we will perhaps finish the Hagdama. The Gemara relates in Sukkah, I believe that's on Gimel Amud Aleph from the bottom, if I recall correctly. A story that has fascinated me. And I always come back to this Gemara. The Gemara relates that Abaya was walking in the vicinity of a wooded area. And he saw a couple, single people, apparently walking, and they were entering this wooded area. So he took this as a sign that they had immoral intentions. So So he was an amoyer on a rope, so he intended, if he was the Roshiv of the town, that he was going to not let this take place. So he followed them into the wooded area. And they went, they traversed the entire wooded area, and they came out on the other side, and there was a crossroads. And each one wanted a different direction. And they thanked each other for having been company, walking through a wooded area. It could sometimes be fearful, frightening. And they weren't so frightened because they had company with each other. And each one departed and went off on their own way. And they obviously had no such Abaye witness them from the distance. They had no improper intentions. Abaye was very shattered by this, when he saw this take place. He said, in my own estimation of myself, if I was one of the parties involved, I would have been sinful. And he was beside himself. And the Abaye came home and says that he met an elder Talmud Chacham as he was about to enter his house. And the elder Talmud Chacham saw he was despondent. And he asked him, what's up? And he told him. So the elder Talmud Chacham, Ahusobo, tells him, Kol HaGodol Mechavero Yitzro Godol Mechavero. That the greater the person, the greater is Yetzer Hara. So don't despair. That's the Gemara. And this Gemara perplexed me. No end. This couple was a very unlettered couple. Without their Tosfos in Masechet Nida says that if one goes into a deserted area outdoors with a person of the other gender, it's a violation of Yichud. Yichud is not only indoors. In any deserted place, it's an Issa Yichud. So they obviously didn't know the halachos of Yichud, very unlettered. And here we have the great Amor Abaye, it's really a page in Shas that doesn't have his name on it. And he says, if it was me, I would have sinned. So I asked myself, so what made him the great Abaye? So great. What common people didn't do, so why is he so great? And the answer, I believe, is Abaye understood himself. He understood what human nature is. And the greatness of Abaye is not that he couldn't sin, but rather that he wouldn't sin. Abaye would never put himself in that situation where he would be exposed to that level of temptation. That's why he was the great Abaye. Not because he couldn't sin, because he wouldn't sin. His Yirah Shamayim was such that he took all necessary precautions to prevent himself from being nichshol. And basically what the Rambam tells us in the Shmona Prokim, there were different types of afflictions that the human being suffers. People are not born to be serial killers. If someone is a serial killer, that's an acquired type of behavior. That's not normal for a human being to live and act in such a fashion. An acquired type of behavior, a person can change and eliminate. There are midos which are inherent to a human being. They cannot be eliminated. We can work with great difficulty, keep them under control. But they cannot be eliminated because they are natural, normal parts of the human personality. And sexuality is a natural and normal part of the human personality. So we cannot escape the fact that there will be a Yetzer Hara. So Chazal, from that standpoint, the first thing that they did, perhaps. But it's not only Chazal, part of it is the Issa Torah too, as we'll see, is that there's an Issa on Yichud. It's pretty difficult to violate a rias unless one is in a secluded place. And there are still basic notions of privacy and decency in this world, you know, for most people. So, thereby there is an Isra of Yichud. Now, this Isra of Yichud, it's rather interesting. It has the Raisadika dimensions and the Rabbanadika dimensions. That's the first thing that we have to know. Now the source in the Shulchan Aruch, the sugyas basically are in Masechet Kedushin, but the source in the Shulchan Aruch is Siman Chav Beis. So we'll start with the basics in Siman Chav Beis. And that is number one, Isa Yichuru Min HaTorah. It's a Torah Dika Isa. Chazal derived it from a Pasuk in a whole convoluted fashion, whatever, that's not our Isik. How Chazal derived it, the Rosh Hashulchan talks about it, the Bnei Yeshua, the Achronim talking about how it's derived from that Pasuk. But it's inherent in a Pasuk, in the Chumash, that there's an Isra of Yichud. Now this Isra of Yichud deals with Arayas. Anyone that's an Erva to me, there is an Isra of Yichud. We'll see, with some minor exceptions to it. So that starts off, that's an Isra Daraisa. So if the person, for example, there's an Eishas Ish, so an Eishas Ish is an Isra Daraisa, to be Yichud with an Eishas Ish. However, when it comes to single people, there was not inherently an Isa Yichud with the Marater. But the Gemara relates, Geshira Maisa Amnon Matomor Gozer Dovid Abez Dino Al Isa Yichud Pnuya. That after the incident of Amnon and Tomor, so Dovid HaMelech and his Bezdin banned Yichud with the Pnuya. Now what was this necessary for? So Aruch HaShulchan spells it out very well. This was only necessary for Yichud with a person that was a Kitana, before she reached the age of puberty. Once she reached the age of puberty and she became a Nidah, then she's an Erva, and then it was Osim and Atero. So we didn't need Bezdino Shel David to make such a Gzer. It's only for a situation that she was not an Erva. Now he does go on to point out the following, which is also very important. He says, let us not think, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that prior to the Takonah of Bezdin Shel David, that Yichud with the Pnuya was Mutter. That's also not correct. And he brings proofs to that effect, a number of proofs. But rather, he says, that the difference was that before the Takon of Bezdin shall Bezdin Dino shall David, Ba'arai, sporadically one could have Yichud with the Pnuya. As long as it was not on a regular ongoing basis, there was no Isra. On a regular ongoing basis, since it obviously could lead to Arayas, he says it's also Minatara. That was not the chiddush of Beis Dino Shel David. Beis Dino Shel David made an Iser on even a temporary and sporadic Yichud with a woman that's not an Erva. That's what they came to ban. And then we find finally B'Shamay V'Hilo Gozwa Yichud Kusis, that they banned Yichud with a non-Jewish woman. So Yichud has a number of different levels, as the Raisadika levels and the Rabbanadika levels. Now, what's also important to know when we're talking about the basics of Isa Yichud is that basically there are no exceptions to it. And as the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Bein Skena Bein Yaldu, it doesn't make a difference how young or old a person is. And by a young person, we intuitively understand the Isa Yichud. And if a woman's 95 years old, so we ask ourselves what Shaykh and Isa Yichud. But Chazal understood the Yetzer Hara better than we do. And they made, perhaps, it doesn't mean in necessarily every single case they thought something could happen, but they also understood that if we make exceptions, things will happen. Now this is a halacha which is very unique to Klal Yisrael. We don't find, as far as I'm aware, any other value system which has such an issue.
Arabs.
What?
The Arabs. Very
yeah, but I don't know that they have an Isra Yichud. objective they are. We're not saying that there's not certain, you know, sense of morality in the world, but the Isra of Yichud, I'm not familiar that there's any other society that has an Isra of Yichud. It's a very unique feature of Klal Yisrael. Now, what are the exceptions? The exceptions basically are a mother and a son, a father and his daughter, and this situation is 100% mutar lechatchila. Then we find the following, that yichud and machaisai, for a person to live just with his sister in an apartment by himself, is improper. Ein rashon lo duyachad bekfiyas. That, you know, she can come a few days from out of town, they can visit, parents can be away a little bit, that is no isa yichud. But for them, for example, to take an apartment and to live regularly in, on their own in one house or one apartment is also incorrect. So, these are the basics of where we begin with yichud. Now, yes?
Is there still a deraisa of yichud by like
HSH,
who's 95?
Yes. She's an Arab.
Yeah,
does not make a difference how old she's an HSH, yeah. She's an Arab, then it's also
explicit, you're saying, because you said there's an explicit
Isra
in the Torah.
Yeah, there's an explicit Isra in the Torah, yeah. For Yichud with Arias. It's derived from a pasuk. So the question is that we need to explore somewhat the halachic parameters of yichud, because it's something which comes up under many, many circumstances. It comes up in the doctor's office, and it comes up in the business office, and it comes up if the cleaning lady comes, and if the babysitter comes, in endless situations. So it's very, very important to know when there's no Isra of Yichud, so that we're able to operate in this world. Now, let's start off with the first, the simplest heter in Yichud. There are two very simple heter. The simplest one of all is called Isha Sha'osalis, that if it involves a woman who I'm not allowed to have Yichud with, but my wife is present, then it's permissible to have yichud with someone else, to be there together. Why? Because the halacha says, "Mipnei she'ishto misham rosai." Ishto misham rosai means that she's not going to let him do something he's not supposed to.
That's called yichud in theory?
Well, if it wouldn't be a shmira, let's say a guy was with two single women, would be yichud.
No, no, but a shmir, I don't know if it's relevant, is having shmir considered yichud?
No, with the shmir there is no yichud. But it would have been yichud except for the fact that it's shmir. So that's one halacha of ishto misham rosa.
The original gezeira was with two women as well, or is that also part of the deoraisa iser?
We'll see. It would appear that even with two women as well, there's an iser.
In the Torah?
That's what the impression that I have. That's my impression. Now, so ishto imo is itself a heter. But ishto imo, we have to be very careful of its parameters. We have very different standards than the world around us. And we have little expectation that the world around us is going to have fidelity to our standards. So when you say ishto imo is dafka and ashes yehudi. If it's, but suppose it's ishto imo in a situation, suppose there's a woman and there's a non-Jewish man and his wife, then yichud is still prohibited. Because we can't assume that they necessarily have the same level of regard for arayas as we do. They may or they may not, but we have no basis of assuming that they do. So ishto imo is a heter, whether my wife is with me or it's the, or for a woman, it's the wife of the one she's being misyachid with, of Ishto Imo or Ishto Misham Rosa. So there's no Isa Yichud. Is Dafka Din when the, we're dealing with a Jewish person and his wife. That's when we have a Din of Allah of Ishto Misham Rosa. Now, we have a parallel halacha, but that's a different type of halacha. Here we have Isha Shabayla Be'ir. If there's halacha of Bayla Be'ir, it's in Choshish and Lisiachet Imo. There's no Isar, but Nesha Imas Bayla Olel. Because she stands in a certain awe and respect for her husband. And this is a different halacha than Ishto Misham Rosa. Ishto Misham Rosa means the person's wife was there, and in her presence there's certain things that he wouldn't do. Amos Bailala means her husband is not there, but she's concerned that he may show up here, and she doesn't want to be in a compromising situation. So that's also a heter of Yichud. Now, this gets very complicated. This heter is not so simple. This heter applies in a situation, clearly, when a woman is in her own house, and when her husband can reasonably arrive at this house. In other words, listen, he works locally. He's his own boss. So he could, you know, anytime he's in the mood, he could just, you know, run home and he'd pop into the house in 2 seconds. But suppose her husband works in Manhattan, and it takes him an hour to get there, and he's 8 hours in the city, and takes him another hour to get back. So this is a very highly debatable proposition if there's a heter of Bailavir in such a case. Because once he leaves for the day, the possibility that he's going to come back, especially when he works for someone else, it's quite nil. You know, if he works for himself, there's still always the possibility, you know, change his plans. But when he works in someone else's employ, so he has to be someplace a certain time, from a certain time to a certain time. So all of a sudden he's going to 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, take the train and decide to take an hour trip back to Kew Garden Hills is a very far-fetched proposition. So this is very controversial if there was a heter of Baila Be'ir in such a case.
If the only heter is
you
come in at any point,
is
that more like
a Pesach Tzorah? That's sort of, but a husband is similar in that regard. But even though the door is open, the fact that her husband's in the city and is around is a reason that people want to do what's proper. So Rav Moshe happens to be his machmer. If a guy goes off to Manhattan, you know, on his business day, that there's no heter by the beer for such a case, yeah.
Is it only in her own house?
Once it's outside her own house, it's a lot more controversial, is there a heter by the beer? Because a husband normally, who says a husband is going to come to some other place? You know, a husband's likely to come home. Who says that that she has to have any expectation of being in another place? So come knock on the door, she won't answer the door. You know, just because she went there doesn't mean she has to be there. In your own house. So once it's not in our house, and there are other complications too, but let's first deal with the simple cases.
Does it apply to a daughter of a father?
No, a father to a daughter, yeah. There's no Issa Yichud.
No, I meant, does the Amos, does she have care of her father?
So this question, for example, let's say a woman is present with a man and his daughter. Right. So, do we need the svar of Amos Bailalel that it's only because, listen, a husband is ultimately whom the one that she has responsibility to, and therefore, you know, she feels the greatest necessity of being, you know, correct with him. Whereas if it's anyone else, well, she's not so concerned. Any other person. In other words, for example, we said, Ishto Misham Rosa, a man's wife watches him. Let's start with that case. Ishto Misham Rosa, let's start with that. So Ishto Misham Rosa is, listen, in front of his wife, there's certain things he can't do. She's not going to exactly be too pleased. But if it's someone else, let's say it's his daughter.
But what if she's sleeping? She's in the house, but she's sleeping.
We'll get it to him.
We'll come to that. Wait, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So, what happens if it's someone else? It's not his wife. It's his daughter. Is he also so concerned for Yichud or not? So, on this subject, you can read for pages and pages and pages in the Eitzra Poiskim, debating up and back what the din is. I'm Noyig Paskin, like the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was Meikel. The Chazon Ish said that it applies even, let's say, to your daughter. In other words, any other woman that you would not have an Isur Yichud with, if she is present, then there's no Isur Yichud with another woman as well at the same time. So you have with your daughter or your mother, for example, so there's no Isur Yichud on the other woman. And Rav Moshe the Tshuvas also came to the same conclusion. He does bring different stodim, that is good basis to be machmer, good basis to be meikel, and at the end he's machri
al. I meant, can I go to Anuya's house if her father's in town?
No.
They live together. She's in
no, that's a whole different story. Okay, that we're not dealing with. That's not. Bailo Ba'ir is a very different halacha than Ishto B'Shamrosa. Ishto B'Shamrosa means she is present. Bailo Ba'ir, in that regard, is a very unique halacha. You know, just because he's in town is not the same thing.
Fathers are also not good in how their daughters act.
Yeah, but not the same way as how his wife acts. Some measure of difference between those two. Now, yeah, Ronnie.
In the case of Ishto B'Shamrosa, when you're relying on a daughter, how old does the daughter have to be?
How old does the daughter have to be that there should not be an Isur of Yichud in such a case? And the answer to that question would be, now, let me just explain to you these two steps, because I might need to clarify just what I just finished with. What I'm dealing with until now, for example, a man and his daughter is a heter for yichud, that's assuming that the daughter herself is old enough to violate the halachas of yichud too. So nevertheless, there's not a problem in such a case. You know, but let's assume for the moment that we are dealing with a child. Now, a child is unique in the world of halacha. Why? We're not dealing with very young children who are not particularly aware of what's going on. There's an Isur Yichud in their presence. But once a child gets somewhere around the age, probably of about 8 years old, that if they saw something, you know, very unusual happening, it's something that they would talk about, and they would realize that it's unusual. And on the other hand, they themselves are not yet of such age that they're likely to involve themselves in any Isur. So that child can be a Shomer, that is no Isur Yichud. So it's somewhere around the age 7, 8, 9 years old, in that range. 8 about is a good number. That a child is old enough to be aware of what's going on around them, not yet old enough to be involved in such types of activities. So such a child is a Shomer, but a very young child is not a Shomer. Now, the Isur of Yichud, let's put it the way we paskin. The way we paskin, the Rambam effect was machmer in this halacha. The way we paskin that the woman in the nighttime can have Yichud with 3 men. Now, we're assuming again those 3 men are all the Cheskes Ksher, that they're Jews that are known to act in appropriate fashion.
Rambam?
What? No, this is not the Rambam. The Rambam holds that this case is also awesome. Without Ishto B'Shamrosa, even this case is awesome. But we paskin, what's known is that by 3 women, even at night, it's absolutely one is allowed to be meikel. So
3 women or 3 men?
Three men and one woman, yes. that then they were allowed to be mekel. Three men and one woman. And I could tell you that in the times that Rav Hena, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim, when he would travel and he wasn't told, so that's the way we would know it. We always made sure that we had three guys in the house. The Rebbetzin did not always accompany him.
So it's either way? It's either one man with
three
women?
No. It's three men and one woman. We were always makpid to have three men. I'm not dealing with three women. And strike anything with three women and one man. If I said it, I misspoke. We'll come to that soon enough. But by three men and one woman, we know the Hokum, and that's what we commonly did when Rosh Hashanah was away. Rosh Hashanah had no children. So we would make sure that we had three guys there at night when we came to the house, so that there should not be an Isi Yichud. Now, on the other hand, what is the status of three women and one man? Is that mutter or not? And that is debatable, if there is such a heter or not. And Rav Moshe is machri al hachmer, not to be saymach on that. To be machmer, because she does a Rambam, that there's no heter for such a case. Yes?
Is that three and more, even 50 women?
Yeah, I would say, I don't think that the number changes. Even when one man with harba women is still
awesome. The same the other way around.
Once you get to three, if it's more than three, it's certainly more.
I mean, it's the proportion. You always go proportionally. If there's two women and six men is okay. It's the same.
We'll come to this. We'll see. With three, is usually it's always going to be mutter. But we'll see. There are complications, and I just want to go step by step. Yeah.
The chumra at nighttime, is it blanket rule, or is it because it's sleeping time, or if they're working throughout the night?
That's an interesting question. It appears to be that Chazal were concerned that somebody might go to sleep at night, which is a reasonable thing.
Let's say it's a factory that you're, their shift is at night.
So. I think about the question. It's an interesting question. Yeah.
Is this free the men to one woman? Is that in the daytime or just at night?
That's at night. In the daytime, two men and one woman.
Two men and one woman.
Yes, it's mutter in the day. But in the nighttime, because somebody may go to sleep, there will be machmer to have another person around in the nighttime. Now.
And what's the daytime nighttime split? There's just one there? We said three women, even 100 women is also there, just at nighttime?
No, that's all the time.
That's all the time.
It doesn't change, yeah. Even three is not mutter any time.
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the split, I guess, between day and night in terms of time would be a time when normal for people go to sleep.
Yeah.
So what's the chash at nighttime? That
one guy goes to sleep and one guy goes to the bathroom, she could be left by yichud.
So okay, if you're sleeping, so what's the chash? That something's going to happen while the other guy's sleeping?
Yeah.
In the same room?
Wherever, it's conked out, you know.
No, but I'm not sure I understand the case, that someone would, unfortunately, that something would happen when the guy's sleeping in the room.
Yeah, listen.
Not in a different room, is it?
Yeah, people do what they want to do in this world.
So when the Rebbe saying three men and one woman, that's, we're assuming the three men are supposedly up?
No,
what even if three go to sleep?
It's also fine. As long as there are three men present, that will make it. I presume there are enough presence of enough people that, you know, it's always a concern someone's going to show up. Now, let us go to the following case. Now, two and two is a whole different problem in Yichud. In other words, even if we said that two men and one woman is mutter, but that does not necessarily follow that two women and two men Amuta. That case is more chomer than two men and one woman. Because with two and two, we're always concerned is the possibility that they might pair off. So there is a whole different problem altogether which arises in the problems of Yichud. Now, let's deal a little bit, we have a few minutes left, with some common situations, and that is Hashem. we're certainly going to have at least one more shir, maybe two more shirim on this. There's a lot, you know, that needs to be considered. Now, normally, the halacha has the following. The halacha deals with the situation. If there's a chalom that's pesuach the Rishus HaRab. If you're in a place where there's a window open to the Rishus HaRab. Meaning that people, at such a time, that people can see in from outside. And it's basically to the extent that they can see in from outside, that's how much there's a heter. In other words, where they can see, there there's a heter. And in some other place in the house where they can't see, there would be no heter, because there's not chalom pesuach the Rishus HaRab. So you have a big window facing the street, which is,
and you're upstairs.
You know, when it's at ground level that people can readily see in from outside. So to sit right in front of that window inside the house, there's no yisuyichud. Because no normal person is going to do anything under that place in the house. If he goes upstairs, if he goes to some back room, which is no longer visible from that window, so it doesn't help to the fact that he has a window. It's irrelevant.
So what's then the chash with two and two in the same room?
The chash is that they'll both decide they want to do what they want to do, and that's it.
In the room, or go to a different
room. Or wherever they'll be. It's not our business how it's going to come about, even in the same room. When people want to do...
Yeah, that is the general. That is the general rule, right? That we're only concerned about the present. Not what they're going to do, but where they...
We'll see that that's basically the case. Yes. Now, one of the very common situations of yichud, or a problem of yichud, and it's very important to focus on this, is we live in an age which is very security conscious. And there are less and less business offices today which work with an unlocked door. Increasingly, there's more and more security and more locked doors. Because people are afraid. And consequently, it could be very common that a person was working in an office and there's a secretary and the door is locked. I mean, this was what was once the province only of the diamond industry. It has become very widespread in buildings today. Now, how does one deal with that situation? In a business office, and there's a secretary, is there an Issa Yichud or isn't there an Issa Yichud? So Rav Moshe Zatzal had a very interesting insight. He said in a place during its regular business hours, when there is both the expectation that customers or clients will come, and the clients also have the expectation that the business is operating at this hour, so you come and they knock on the door, you can't not answer them and not let them in.
Why not?
The business is not going to last too long if your customers come to your business and knock on the door and they're bothered to come and nobody lets them in.
One time.
Listen.
Yeah, but why do the people working there care? They don't make
one time, yeah.
They don't make any percentage of the profits.
Listen. What do you mean the people working there?
You're not the boss.
Listen. There's a boss there.
You've been working there a long time.
There's a boss. Right? There's a boy, yeah, and the boss minds his business. You know, he doesn't, he's not interested in going out of business.
Whatever the Chazal understood people and the type of Yitzhara.
Yeah, but
money also.
Money is also
type
something.
Type is nothing stronger than type's mom.
Listen, everything is true, but you need to run your business. And, you know, in life, you balance off the different things you want to do. If you want to stay in business, so you make sure to stay in business. And you keep the things that you want to do out of the business office, if you know it's good for you. Yeah, what are most of the businesses today try to do? They try to keep these types of things out of the office, because they become much too difficult to manage in the office. I mean, all the possibilities of harassment suits and everything else. They're trying the worst way to keep these things out of the office. They just get them to some other venue, but off their premises.
Well, sexual harassment is a very big issue.
It's very big, and if you're not, you know, as a boss, sensitive to it. No. I mean, the truth is, in that regard, it's helping a little bit, because they're much more sensitive to creating environments which don't lend themselves to these type of accusations. So basically, in other words, there's less, within the business, there's usually less privacy for that reason. That's a general mode in the way society is operating. So Ramesha said that in the normal business hours, when the business is expected to be open and clients expect to be answered, that even if the door is locked, there's no isa yichud, which is a very, very important heter.
The security cameras also a mitigating factor?
It depends who's watching the security camera.
So you have no control over that. You know people do watch.
You know, so I would probably help. I'm not 1,000% sure, but assuming that, you know, the people usually watch, then, you know, there's a certain amount of discretion, you know, involved in what you're not going to do in front of the security camera. But this is a very, very important shaila. Now, along similar lines, this is probably the simplest version of this shaila. Ramesh addressed the shaila basically of what to do with OBGYN appointments for women with male doctors. Is there an isa yichud or not in such a case? Now, he noted...
For the doctor or for the patient?
For both of them. Well, he was dealing with the patient at his time.
Yeah.
Which is more the problem, but the problem today could equally be in reverse. In Ramesh's time, the number of Jewish and from OBGYNs was negligible. He wrote his tshuvas. Now, today, we have both doctors that are from, and we have even from women doctors besides the patients. So, is there an iheter now? Some of the considerations that he has, I don't believe, work exactly the same way in the workplace today, from the inquiries that I've made. Because by and large, most doctors do not wish to put themselves in such a situation where anything could be said about them and their career could be destroyed. So usually for that reason, they make sure that they have a nurse that has access at all times. And
it's
unlimited.
Two women
but?
And one man. The doctor, that doesn't help though. It's still two women and one man. So there's still an issue.
No. You're dealing in a situation that, let's say there are other people in the office. In other words, right now, he's not going to, let's say there are other people, there are other clients in the office or whatever it is, but he's not going to go behind closed doors in a place where someone else doesn't have access. Not that he's going to be misyachid with that other person, but he won't usually put himself in a situation which is going to be, could look where he could be compromised. So the situation may be in some regard somewhat better than it was at his time. And even in his time, he wrote that he said his observation was that people were generally mekel, even the wives of Talmidei Chachamim, and he felt that it was appropriate, based on similar type of considerations, that the doctor wants to protect his name too. And if he'll do things that he's not supposed to do, or people in his office will suspect him of doing things he's not supposed to do, eventually it's going to cost him his career. So for that reason, because of people coming and you have to answer and you have to be responsive to the clients or the patients that are coming, and the unwillingness to put oneself in a situation where one might undermine one's reputation, all of those things together, he considered that there was no isa yichud. But he said, on the other hand, suppose she knows she took the last appointment of the day and there would be no one else there, that he felt in that case there is an isa yichud. So it's not that he totally dismissed the isa yichud, but he felt in most situations, if you come in the midst of the patient day, that when there has to be a response of this to any new patient that knocks on the door that wants to speak to the doctor, he can't just disappear and come back who knows when. So that would remove the isa yichud. But if it's a situation when there's no expectation for anyone to have to enter the door, no expectation any other patient is going to come, then there would be an isa yichud. So this is the stance that Ramesh took. He was probably more makel in this, certainly, than the stance he would have typically found in Eretz Yisrael of this era. Okay. So Be'ez Hashem, we will take it up to a lot more practical situation. We'll go further in the halachas next time.
Well, I'm just in the whole.
mean, halacha is halacha. I'm not arguing with halacha, but in the understanding, the Rav started with the thing of Rav Amram. He's the greatest person. I understand, and he doesn't want this lady to be saying things about him that whatever it is, embarrassment. But the Yetzer is the Yetzer.
All answerable questions, not for that one.
All right, I mean, I'm not arguing about a lot.